You don't know anything about rugby, don't talk.
Cregan. Drop goal from Larkham.
It's Australia 3-4. They've got the advantage.
Worst press conference. Well done, boys.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Gugger Teams podcast for the week. I'm the happy man. Sully's unfortunately unwell. Carla's at a game, so joining me tonight is the Hoss fan and Reds and Wallabies fan. How are you going, Reds?
Yeah, good, thanks. Good, thanks, happy man. Happy to be here, making my debut on the podcast, trying not to let the team down. Hopefully I've trained well. Hopefully I'll have a good hit out.
Mate, I'm sure you'll provide excellent impact off the bench. Hoss man, how's things this week?
Yeah, good evening. I've come down off the soapbox, calmed down a bit. Blood pressure's back in the dangerously overweight range. And Reds, welcome on board, mate. Good to have you here.
Again, thanks for all your support through the podcast. Please download, rate, subscribe and review it on all your platforms. It all helps us get along and growing the show as far as we can take it. Quick shout out this week to the fine work of Nathan Williamson, who got to interview Brian Abana, Brian O'Driscoll, and my favourite of the three podcasts was Danielle Nolly Waterman as part of the HSB 7s series in Hong Kong. Excellent, excellent interviews all the way through. Your highlights for the week, Reds, what got you going this week?
Oh, look, I actually tuned in to a bit of the 7s. I think we were collectively, as the Gagger group, watching the Brumbies Waratahs game, but I was tuning into the 7s as well, so getting to see a couple of the 7s games. The Aussie teams go well. I caught the end of the women's bronze medal match where they came back in that one and really showed spirit there. It's good to see the young girl who made her debut for the weekend. She the photos of 10 years ago with her and Kaslik, and just the impact that Charlotte Kaslik's had on the game there. So that was good. The Aussie men were good as well. Just couldn't get the job done against the Irish, wasn't it? So unfortunately, that was that. The Brumbies ran away with it. The Rebels, good to see them sort of go well. Well, it's hard to know how that went though with the way that Fiji fell apart. So
very good. What was your highlight, Hosman?
Yeah, a bit similar to Reds, mate. A lot of rugby on the weekend. There was a few things to choose from. I think just the way, I think our Aussie women's sevens, probably one of our best sporting sides, very easy to like and respect, right up there with the Australian women's cricket team. Obviously, Mick Hooper's debut, I thought he did very well. It's interesting reading, coming from a 15s background, we're used to him being super fit and the fastest on the field, but everyone talking about how unfit he was and how slow he is in sevens. I'd like to just echo your comments, mate. Later tonight, we'll put up three interviews from Nathan Williamson, who is rugby royalty at RA, and Tommy, I had to say that. Natho donated his time freely over the weekend and got three cracking interviews with legends of the game, both 15s and 7s. So, Natho, thanks very much, mate. I appreciate everything you did. But overall, mate, yeah, I love the 7s. We didn't come away with any medals, but just the way our sevens athletes hold themselves and what they do for the game, I think that's a big up for the code.
Yeah, I concur. I think the women's sevens are probably the best Australian sporting team in any code at the moment. My highlight was watching Michael Hooper blowing like he had three lungs after 2 minutes of his first game. Poor guy. He looked nervy, to be fair. Look, let's get stuck into this week's games, the teams for the week. We've got first game we've got is Reds v Moana Pacifica. They're playing this at Northland Stadium, which is 150 kilometres away from Eden Park, which is basically half of the North Island as far as I can see on Google Maps. It's about the fifth different home game that Moana have had this season, so it makes it pretty tough for them. For the Reds, they've got the in of Harry McGoughan-Phillips. He starts at 10, and Tom Liner gets a rest. Alex Hodgman returns via the bench, which is great to see. Angus Blyth, who we all met at the opening game, makes his return after some early season injury. Suliasi Vunivalu starts on the wing with Mac Greeley returning to the bench. Very nice to see the Reds rotating their squad and having the capacity to do so and the depth to do so. Moana Pacifica, head coach Tano Amunga has made changes. This basically replaced his front row this week with Abraham Polly, Samuela Molly, and Sione Mafaleo all starting. Jacob Norris gets the start at flanker. Moana do have the two Wallaby greats in Christian Lealuafanu and Sakopi Kepu coming off the bench. Naturally, I think I know where I'm going on this. I'll go Reds by about 10. Hossman, where are you at?
Yeah, mate. Excuse me. Yeah, I think by a bit more. I've got them by 25. I think even though they had the bye week last week, I think Wendy Matthews will have them on song from the kickoff, as in they won't take Moana Pacifica lightly or be off their game. I expect a little bit of rust, more around the timing and connection around the paddock, but I think they'll be too good. It's good to see Angus Blythe back. As you said, we met him at the first game of the year, and you know, you see the stats on these young blokes, and they're, you know, 2 meters tall, 115, 118 kilos. But to meet them, they're just every inch an athlete. You know, they're just, I'm not a short fella. I'm unfortunately getting taking up a bit more space these days. But to see somebody like that, and you just appreciate how much of an athlete they are. One thing I just wanted to float, I wrote in my notes too, is it just me or is Ryan Smith must be in Wallaby conversations at the moment? I think he's a really unsung hero of that Reds pack. I haven't seen him play
in a game. He plays his 50th cap this week.
Does he? 50th cap. Quickly. Congratulations to Mr. Smith. You know, I'm a Liam Wright fan as well. I mean, I know there's some show ponies who get the accolades in Fraser McWright and Harry Wilson and Tate McDermott, but I think Liam Wright's thereabouts, and I think also Ryan Smith doesn't get enough credit for what he does for the team. He does all the grunt work, the clearing of the rucks, the winning of the line out, does all the dirty work that doesn't get any highlight reels, but he's pretty good. So, mate, yeah, I think they'll be a fraction rusty, but I think they'll be too good for Moana by 25.
Reds, what do you think?
I think the Reds will get the win. It'd be rude of me not to. No, I think they will. I read it's going to be raining and a bit cooler up there at Fungaree this weekend, so that might slow them down a bit, might bring the MP team back into it. I'm echoing your thoughts around Angus Blythe. Good to have him back in the side. He's a genuinely huge human being. Unlike you guys, I'm a bit shorter than you guys, and he's truly a giant. Good to have his size, and hopefully he goes well, because he seemed to be a pretty good guy when we met him as well. Ryan Smith, he's excellent, doesn't get enough credit, and so hopefully he plays out of his skin and gets in contention. In terms of Liam Wright, I'll throw something out there. It's a little bit contentious. I think Liam Wright's excellent, truly underrated. He was unlucky, I think, he got injured last year. He was meant to go, as a young professional athlete, he was meant to go play a half season in Japan and get paid for it, and he got injured, did his shoulder, and had to come back from that. So hopefully he goes better. What about Liam Wright at test level as a number seven, or covering that seven spot off the bench at test level in teams where you need a larger body in the breakdown there? He's in every breakdown he needs to be in. And if there's one thing about Hooper and Fraser McWright, they occasionally just get smashed off the ball. So maybe Liam Wright there is a, I thought maybe he could have had a go there at seven in the World Cup last year. But anyway, that's my thing on Liam Wright. Go well, Liam Wright.
Yeah, Liam Wright originally started at seven.
Yep.
And was he's pretty good there. I don't think he's explosive enough for the bench at international. I'd see him, if he was playing, I'd have him starting. I just think he's very good. He calls a very good lineout, which is what he does at the Reds, and I think that really adds to the Reds lineout. You can see a lot of the time he'll change the call when he sees that the opposition's actually marking up on them. So anyway, that's my thoughts on it. Next game, Shaders v Tars. Now the Tars have won two out of the last three, Hossman, so there's hope. There is hope. Darren Coleman welcomes back Ned Hannigan and Lenny Gleeson, but they've lost Angus Bell for the season, which is just brutal for them. They're now down to, I think they've lost four of their seven props of the year so far, and they haven't lost them off the back end of the roster. The Mark Nawangatini Tawasi is, I think Osman might have dropped.
Mm-hmm. I think so, yeah.
Is
still recording though, happy man. So
okay. Keep going. Mark no longer near to us. He's been dropped with Tristan Riley coming in into the starting team. The loss of Angus Bell is just such a huge loss for a team that's already struggling. They're onto their third and fourth ranked hookers. It's just going to make it very tough. The Saders, they're coming back. They're looking stronger. They're starting to get some bodies back with Ethan Blackadder and Brody McAllister starting. For me, just no, the Hosman is back. For me, I think it's the Saders are going to be pretty annoyed at losing in Melbourne, and they're going to take it out on a Pars team that just doesn't have the tight five, and they're playing the team that will go back to its default position, which is smashing people with the tight five. So I think it's Saders by a lot, not as many as it could be on their best day, but I think Saders by 15. Reds, what do you think?
I thought the Crusaders by about 10. I haven't watched that many Crusaders games this year. I wasn't sure how much Callum Grace had been playing. I think he's been injured, hasn't he? But he's in the starting side, so he's obviously quality. And they've got, you know, a pretty handy bench with Moody and Franks to come off the bench and slaughter the Tars scrum at the back end of the game. So I think the Waratahs they lose Bell, they get Lalakai Fekete back though. He's got to be good for the team there. And I think in the backs though, I think to pick up what Hoss was putting down last week, I think Dylan Peach has got to be pretty lucky to still be in the side, and maybe he was just less bad than Marky Mark last week, or less disinterested or something. But he's a guy that we talk about the Sevens program. Peach is a guy that when he came out of that Sevens program, he was setting the world on fire in 15s. And something has happened in the 15s. I don't know if they get overcoached or they get overcoached. There's too much structure for a winger or something about this is your role here. But he seems to have regressed. He seems to have lost the ball skills. He seems to have lost the ability to beat players. And just disappointing because he went really well the last couple of years. So hopefully he finds his mojo again, though. But either way, I think the Crusaders by about 10.
Boss man, you were pretty close last week. Yeah. 21, they got done by 22.
Yeah, mate. Look, sorry about that. My connection dropped out. A couple of things that sort of stand out. Obviously, Marky Mark has been rightfully canned. I think that's a result of, you know, him signing for another team or code, whatever you want, so far out. And now that it's a losing season, he's mentally checked out. He's left the Tar organization mentally and emotionally. He's been the passenger for the last three or four rounds. I like the fact that Fekete and Parisi are back in the centre pairing. I think Fekete brings another measure of calmness and rugby intellect to the team. He'll be better for the run last week. But to a certain extent, doesn't matter, but when he's still got Tay and Edmed at 10, that's where Waratah's rugby ambitions go to die when the ball gets to 10. I think Dylan Peach is very lucky. I just risole him. I just think, you know, I said this last week, Dylan, mate, like a lot of things about you, but go back to shoot shield and get the hunger back, get the form back that made you a very dangerous winger last year. Good to have Flanders Hannigan back and Clubber Langan Gleeson. They'll certainly add to the forwards, but I said last week the forwards haven't and will not be the issue for this team. The issue is at 10 onwards. And that remains. So I don't know what I don't know if Harry Wilson's dating somebody's wife at the club, because he was very good against, I think it was the Crusaders, or maybe it was the week after where they just got pipped by the Canes, but he can't even get on the bench. And I'd have him in for utility cover, whether that be at sort of 12, 13, 14 or 11. I look back to last week and, you know, for me, Jed Holloway summed up the Tars season. He was outstanding, and if not the best forward on the field, he would have matched Charlie Cale for being the best forward on the field. And I've seen that effort week in, week out from the Tars. I've seen that sort of commitment, that sort of hard work, but then I've seen it undone out wide. And I said last week, what will picking the same players in the centres change from the week before? And it proved to be absolutely nothing. Now, I didn't expect them to beat the crew, beat the Brumbies, but we got more of the same from those from the back. So I'm actually a Tars fan, as you probably worked out, but I've got the Crusaders winning by 18. They'll be a much better side with Ethan Blackadder back in the fold too. He is a terrific footballer, and I think he'll cause the Tars problems all night, and I think the Crusaders will win comfortably.
Yeah. For me, this is just one of those things. The young guy who played against the Rebels, the Luce Proper played against the Rebels, and I think this is an indictment about where the Tars are at. On the weekend, he played shoot shield, but he played reserve grade. Mm. So he wasn't even good enough to make the Randwick team, but he was playing for the Tars. And that's just a contracting issue as far as I'm concerned. And that's one of the things they really need to look at. There are, in my view, a lot of guys who are running around who could give you a solid 20, 30 minutes of Super Rugby level propping play, who are playing in Chute Shield, Hospital Cup or whatever. And to pick a 19-year-old guy and let him play when he's not even a strong scrummager at club level is just setting him up for failure and potential injury. It's just a massive knock on where they're at. They've obviously felt they've had to contract him for other reasons, and now they're stuck in a position where they can't really use him. I remember when Taniela Tupou first started playing, he played club level for a year, and his club team, they ran him at number six because he wasn't good enough to play prop at club level at that point in time. Not many 19-year-olds are. That's just a fact.
Mate, I think that's a great point. The injury to Angus Bell is it's heartbreaking for a number of reasons. One, because he's such a good human being. Like everything you read about him, the way he carries himself on and off the field, what he stands for as a person, what he does away from the rugby field, he's a quality human being. So certainly very disappointed for Gus Bell. I agree 100%. And Steve Hoyles made a point 2 or 3 weeks ago that why wouldn't you go out to a 30-year-old grizzled veteran in the Shoot Shield or Hospital Cup and say, listen, I need you to come and play for the New South Wales Waratahs in Super Rugby and give me the best 20 or 25 minutes you've got. And you're going to get somebody who's an old veteran, you're going to get a nutter, you know, obviously without the same bitterness and criminal history, but you're going to get a nutter who's going to go, I'm going to stick it up Taniela Tupou. I'm going to stick it up San Talakai. Here's my 20 minutes to leave a mark that I can live on for the rest of my life at the pubs, at family barbecues, at the club I play for. But they pick a 19-year-old kid and just fed him to the wolves. And how does that help this kid? How does that help his career? How does it help his confidence? And I said in last week's rant that I believe the Tars are well coached, but the selections are horrendous. And the Crows have come home to roost.
Yeah. And if you look at it, if you think about it, who best props in terms of the next generation, the younger level of props being Taniela Tupou and Angus Bell, have now been basically used like a rental car.
Yeah.
Just driven hard, put away wet, and surprisingly, they've both got injuries. So, anyway, let's move on to the next game. Chiefs and Canes. This will be a cracker. Reds, what do you think?
Oh, yeah, great.
Oh, sorry. Hang on. Before I get into it, I'll get a couple of ins and outs before we get this back into it. My fault. Chiefs, look, Tupou Bay will celebrate his 50th game against the Canes. So congratulations to him. Obviously, D-Max playing for the Canes. Duplessis Kiriffi and Devon Flanders have both been named on the bench, while TJ Perenara will start. So obviously the injured Cameron Roygaard, who was just playing out of his skin. Reds, what do you think? Game of the round?
Yeah, great. Yeah. Yes, I think so. Yeah, game of the round, I think it should be a spectacle. I think it's meant to – I'll do the weather forecasting for us. I think it's meant to rain in Wellington and be cold, but that doesn't seem to slow the Kiwis down too much. They just keep playing, so should be a cracking game. And to quote – was it Justin Marshall or one of the other commentators recently? If you want speed and syllables, this is the game of the round for you. But I think I'm going to go with the home team by about six. And that's just based on the fact they're coming off the bye. They should be fresh. The Chiefs, though, they're good, right? They're a strong side and they're good. I was kind of looking at the back lines going, you know, you've got TJ Perenara and Geordie Barrett combining, and on one side, then you got Bud, you got DMAC and Anton Leonard Brown on the other side. So I think probably the back row was probably the thing that'll decide it. I think the Chiefs back row seem to be playing out of their skin. There's big raps on the young guy, Wallace Sititi. Justin Marshall talked him up, used his name in the same sentence as Kieran Reid in an interview I saw today. So they played MP last week, didn't they? So, but he played out of his skin last week, apparently. So I think the Chiefs back row decides the win, and the DMAC and co decide by how many.
Boss man?
Yeah, I agree with Reds, mate. It's going to be a cracking game. Head and shoulders, the match of the round. I guess this is the litmus test for the Canes. They're, you know, the top of the table, and rightfully so. They've played some very good football. I've watched a few of the games, and they're very easy on the eye. Mate, All Black versus All Black all over the park. And I guess this one is the litmus test for the Canes to see if they're the real deal this year or the pretenders. And just to upset Carl, I'm going the Chiefs by 5, because I think, you know, Carl's a mad Canes fan, and they'll be found out this week by a clinical and well-drilled Chiefs side.
Yep, 3-3, boys. I'm taking the Chiefs in this one. DMAC is the answer to whatever the question is in a rugby game for the Chiefs. And honestly, the Canes are very good. The replacement for that Cam Roy guard will be that Bouillon from the South African guy his dad's South African. He is a proper Kiwi. And he was good earlier in the year. Atrocious rat's tail, but he was very good. And you know, I just think I think the Chiefs have just got a little bit too much polish for them at this point. Next game, Rebels and the Highlanders. Rebels in. Josh Kemeny, Andrew Callaway, and Kuani Tuilima is in for Josh Cannum, who was ruled out for some reason. Don't know why. Stopping an elbow or something. The Highlanders are leaning into some rookie talent with AJ Faliafaga starting at fly half, which is interesting because they had Reece Patchett, I think, playing at fly half, and I don't believe he's injured. Hugo Plummer and Will Stoddard are set to make their debuts off the bench. Reds, where are you on this one?
What'd I say? I am going with that. I think I'm going to stick with the home side. A lot of Super Rugby games go to the home side. I don't think the Highlanders, I don't think I've watched them play this year, though, so I'm probably maybe being a bit unfair. The Rebels are 4-3. The Highlanders are 2-4. Mm-hmm. The Rebels played all right last week against Fiji towards the end of the game, and if they can bring that back into the game this week, it should go okay. Andrew Callaway's back in. Hopefully Carter Gordon starts practicing kicking at some time soon. You know, for goodness sake, he's a, you know, that's one of those things that we talk about a lot around skills development. And he's an excellent player. He just can't kick. Or he kicks so terribly at times. He makes it look really hard when I don't think it is that hard. So, but yeah, look, and hopefully Filippo goes well. Dalgona keeps going well at 13. He's probably one of the picks I disagree with. Nadarini's team of the week this week was, I think, Dalgona was good at 13. Has been good at 13, and maybe he's an option there if to cover on the again for the Wallabies. So. I've got a little bit of a rant about the Rebels, which I'll probably save for a bit later on. But yeah, Rebels by a few against the Highlanders.
Awesome.
Yeah, must have read all my notes tonight, mate, because we're on the same page again. I like the fact that Callaway's back, the Ginger Ninja is back at 15. I think Anderson's back for this week as well. Surprising, listening to the commentary last week that I believe that the Rebels are now equaled their 2018-19 season when they made the final with 4 wins. They're 5th on the ladder, which is, again, surprising. I say surprising, but at the start of the year, I said on Gag that their roster is exceptionally good. The young players who showed promise last year, the Josh Kenhams, those sorts of guys have actually evolved and become even better again. I think Matt Gibbon is having an outstanding season. I think he's thereabouts for Wallaby squad selection. Again, as Nutter would say, does the meat and potato stuff extremely well. Doesn't have a bad scrum, doesn't have a bad carry, and just he's a props prop, if that makes sense. Last week, I got to give a big shout out to Jordan Ulisi. He's a guy that looks like Tarzan, but for me has always played like Jane. But last week, his line out throwing has always been like my one iron. It's just been erratic and a shit fight. But last week, he was very good at the line outs. He was very good at the basics of being a hooker. So well done to Jordan. Mate, my shouting at clouds is about Frank Lomani, so I'll save that until the end of the game. But Josh Kenham being out injured as a result of that act of thuggery is just that really riles me up. That, you know, and I'll come back to that. But, mate, I think the Rebs at home, I think they've got the package right. There's a, I think Taniela has probably found his spot on the pine. I think, not to say he won't start ever again, but I think he's bringing more to the team, you know, with 25, 35 to go than he is as a starting prop. Sam Talakai has been a revelation. Alex Murphy is also good off the bench. They hunt as a pack, the Rebels, and long story short is, mate, I've got the Rebels by 11 and get their fifth win on the season and cement a spot in the top five.
Yeah, look, I agree. It's interesting when you look at the Rebels, the Waratahs or even the Force. The Rebels at the moment have six fifth props, being Cobus Elof is not playing and Pone Farmasili is not playing. So the quality of a team is always about the quality of the guys who are available but can't make the team. Yep. And that will be driving standards in terms of the front row, right? Because let's be honest, if Taniela Tupou wasn't actually providing impact off the bench, they do have options. So, yeah, I do like the Rebels in this game. Quickly touch on the women's game. There are three games, obviously, this weekend, final games of the season. For a couple of teams, they've got the Tars and the Reds, the Force and ACT, and the Rebels the Drua. I'm going to take the Tars by about 1,000 to beat the Reds. Force and the ACT, I think, is going to be a close game, but I will take the Force. And my heart tells me that the Rebels will beat the Drua in a close game also. Reds, what do you think?
Look, I can't disagree with you. I think it's been – the Reds has been pretty hard to watch. They've just been outsized and outsized, and maybe just a few key players they don't have this year. They just seem – and I guess you see that disparity with size. You see the disparity. There's a lot more one-on-one tackles get missed because of size and pace than there are in the men's game. But it's just entertaining to watch, though. I like the way that the women's games go. They don't scrum for penalties as much. They don't kick the ball as much. They tend to run the ball more, and it's entertaining to watch. But, yeah, I think I'll stick with your picks as well.
Hoss, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm with you, mate. I've got the Tars by 20-plus, the Force by 12, and the Rebels by 11. I think the cream's floated to the top in the SRW. And, some have got nothing to play for, the rest have got home semifinals to play for.
Yeah, I believe the Rebels girls will be finishing up by that Tuesday or Wednesday of next week. It's pretty much canned it from there. Right, gents, shouting at clouds time. Old white man shouting at clouds. Reds, what's getting on your goat?
Look, I'm pretty old fashioned, right? I might go with there's a quote C.S. Lewis writes in one of his books, I think, The Narnian Chronicles, you know, which I read a long time ago. So I think it's in the Prince Caspian book where someone is starting to give one of the characters starting to give someone some lip, and one of the old warriors says, just shuts him down and says, harsh word, you know, kind words or hard knocks. That's how warriors talk. So I think rugby players could do the same. Shut the fuck up a bit and play hard, hit people hard, and shut the fuck up about it. Alex Murphy mouthing off to the Fiji front row after they pushed them off the ball and killed them in the scrum and won a penalty. just, you don't need to do it, mate. We saw you win it. We saw you win the scrum. We saw you win the penalty. You don't need to tell us and tell the other team about how big and how strong you are. Just go and do it. And that probably carries over a bit to outside backs. Forwards win a penalty. Outside backs run 30 metres to pat them all on the back. Just get on with the game, guys. Just get on with the game. And so that's mine. Murphy probably just get on with the game. Just play hard, get on with the game.
Hoffman, it's your turn.
Yeah, great points. You'll definitely get invited back. Mate, look, mine's Frank Lomani. I think it's the worst piece of deliberate rugby thuggery I've seen since Richard Lowe eye-gouged somebody. You know, there's accidental contact. There's millisecond adjustments from players where they've slipped up a bit high. You know, it looks a bit worse in super slow motion than what it is. But make no mistake, Frank Lomani's was a deliberate and considered action. And what I'd go further to say is let's not get confused with his red card actions with the alleged racial abuse later. They are two separate incidents. They're two separate postcodes. What he did to a defenseless player was nothing short of disgusting and cowardly. I thought 6 weeks was generous. I think he deserves every minute of a 10-week sentence. Canham is now out as a result. Now, whether that's concussion protocol, stitches in the back of the head, whatever it is, I mean, Canham, as a result of Lomani's actions, Canham is now out for this week. And I guess my anger and my disgust is based on what we now are coming to understand about concussion and CTE and head blows and the impact that they can have later in life. I mean, I don't know that one impact will cause it, but one impact is the start of that journey or that potential. So I think at 6 weeks, I praised him last week as the best nine in the competition. I wish I hadn't, because those actions were of a grub, a coward and a grub. I don't care that he was held after the ruck, or that's all crap and that's excuses and people looking to justify his actions. He struck a player who could not defend himself, who didn't know it was coming. He struck him in the head with an elbow. So 6 weeks for me is extremely lenient, and the guy should have got 10. As for the alleged racial abuse, if that clown is found to be guilty and said what he's accused of saying, ban him for life. That's a separate incident. I've got no issues there whatsoever. But let's not confuse the two. Frank Lomani was a thug and acted like a thug and deserves to be punished as a thug. The guy in the crowd, he's a criminal. Treat him as a criminal. Judge him as a criminal. Second part of that, mate, is a headbutt. If I tried to shoot someone in the street tomorrow and miss, I go to jail. Just because you missed with your headbutt should not be any watering down of that penalty as well. He too should go for 10 weeks. The fact he grazed, glanced, hit, nudged, whatever, he attempted a coward's act in headbutting a guy whose arms were around other players and could not defend himself. Same thing. You're a thug. You're a coward. You get 10 weeks. Bugger off. I don't think you can start punishing people because of the injury or lack of the injury. You've got to punish them for their intentions and their act. And he likewise deserves 10 weeks. Was he provoked? Was Mafia goose? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, he had a choice to make. Do I walk away? Do I just stick it up this guy in the next scrum? Or do I headbutt the bloke illegally? And he chose the illegal action and should be punished accordingly. As I said, I walk down the street and go, oh, look, I don't like the postman on the corner, and I have a shot at him and I miss. Well, it's not, oh, there you go, Hoss, go home, you missed him. Good luck. See you next time. It's you tried an unfair illegal act, and you should be punished accordingly. We all know about the chocolate wheel of justice, but I think they both should have got 10 weeks, and that would have sent a very clear message. We are not tolerating this type of behavior, and they can both consider themselves very, very lucky.
Yeah, I completely agree, particularly about the headbutt. I couldn't believe when I read that yesterday. Yesterday morning, wasn't it, about the way the judiciary phrased it? Just ridiculous. Yeah. You're giving judgments now based on outcomes rather than actions. And that's piss poor by the judiciary yet again.
I concur, gents. Concur on that. I'll finish on a positive note for my shouting at clouds. How good was the Hong Kong Sevens? I've been there a few times. it's just the best party. I heard that they're redeveloping the ground. I thought they were knocking it over, but I heard that they're redeveloping the ground. I can only hope so, because the walk from the from town into that ground is just magical. It's just the best event you can go and see, and if you get the opportunity, go and do it. I've got stories to tell. I will only tell those in private. But yeah, just enjoy it. It's just the joy of the game and the enjoyment that people can derive from it, and that's exactly why I like it. Well, that about rounds us out for tonight, ladies and gents. Any final thoughts, Hoss?
No, thanks, mate, and thank you to Reds, mate. You've nailed it. You've got a great fill-in. We'll just reach out. I'll send you our text. Say he's never, ever to come back, so thanks, mate. Thanks for filling in.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree, Reds. You finished Yowie's career, so
All right. That's
what happens. Yeah, you find a better solution, you just go with that.
All right, cheers, fellas. No, cheers, fellas. Happy to be part of it, and thanks for the opportunity to get on my soapbox a bit at the end there. Look forward to
very good
catching up soon.
Very good, very good. Okay, gents, that's us for tonight. Once again, download, rate, review, subscribe, do all those good things to help grow the show into what it can be. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you up next time. See you later. And we're good.
Cool.
If you don't know anything about rugby, don't talk.
Cregan. Drop goal from Larkham.
It's Australian 3-4. They've got the advantage.
Worst press conference. Well done, boys.